is estimated of the 2.2 billion people who claim to be Christian that there are 45,000 denominations around the world. These numbers are almost overwhelming. 45,000. 200 plus in the United States alone. I'm not sure if that number is right. I bet you there's 200 in Huntsville, Alabama. Of those numbers, there are approximately 20,000 Church of Christ congregations around the world. That number equates to approximately 2.5 to 3 million people. In the United States, which is where the predominant number occurs, there's about 15,000. That equates to a number of about 1 million people. 1 million is 0.0125% of the entire population of the earth. If you were to equate that to the population of Alabama, which is about 5 million, that is 6. That's it. If you were to equate the world population to Alabama, there would only be about 600 people who claim to be members of the Church of Christ. But I want you to consider just one. The definition that you'll find typically of one and only is that it is defined as no one or nothing more besides. It's also defined as solely or exclusively. Unique, single, alone of its or their kind. It would indicate that one and only is kind of special. Talk about numbers. Talk about priorities. A recent study indicated the top 10 choices that Americans believe will define their lives. Education. Career. Marriage. Children. Divorce. Finances, relationships, relocation, self-development. Get ready for the last one. Self is probably a big choice, just not one I would have ever considered. I would hope everybody would know what's missing. You see it? What's missing is the one and only choice that will literally define, that will affect and influence every other choice that we or they will make. Will I love the one God with all my heart, soul, and mind? I mentioned at the beginning something that seemed almost incongruent. What does it matter if people can swim? If you knew how to swim and somebody didn't, would you brag about it? If you knew you could swim, you could save somebody. You had the chance. Would you avoid doing it? One matters. When it comes to saving people, we may only get one chance. When it comes to saving ourselves, we will only get one chance. One of them, the lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. You find that in Matthew 22, 35, and 38. true embodiment, said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." We read in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Paul wrote, or we read in Acts, not Romans, there is an error on this screen, but in Acts chapter 17, I'd ask you to turn with me if you would. If you turn to Romans, you'll miss it. But in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 22, I want you to listen to what's written. And I'd like you to think of Paul, a swimmer among people who cannot swim, trying to save those who cannot save themselves. Starting in verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring, that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Look at the power of Paul's message. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." Verse 26, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. He has appointed one day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the one man whom he has ordained." At number one, matters. In Isaiah 45:5, it is written, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me." I want to hesitate for a moment, but just please make a note. This lesson is not something for us to take in arrogance that we are in any way superior to somebody who may not know the one. Now, this is a word of caution that those of us who can swim should be prepared to teach those who cannot, that they may be able to be saved, and that those of us who can contribute to saving should be prepared to help in that salvation. Let us not be arrogant. Our knowledge is to be used His glory, not for our own. bemoan this. We shouldn't. I say sincerely, those of you who are in Don's Bible study, what a great Bible study. If you'd been there, you would have realized I'm not going to come and hold a candle to it. I was going to stop and just say after Nicholas's lesson, I'm really not going to do any better than that. What a great job that was. But the message is always clear that we are in Athens. We live in a world of religion, not the same as faith, paganism, materialism, and atheism. Atheism that is so strong, there's a book out that you may read. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It has become its own religion. And there's a billion different mixes unique to each person. You now hear people say, well, this is my truth. And if you ever try to debate somebody that says that, you would do well to go bang your head against a brick wall. You cannot debate my truth, but you can read and discuss the truth. Many who consider themselves religious, even Christians, worship God and Christ in utter blissful ignorance. Let each of us pray today we are not counted among those numbers. Let us not be swimmers who could not even save ourselves. What's interesting about the study about the swimming is that when people were asked, yeah, I can swim, and then the question was turned to, but do you have the skills to save yourself? And the number drops precipitously. If you've ever been caught in a rip current, it is absolutely frightening if you don't know what to do. You can very quickly find yourself a long way from shore. But if you know what to do, you can save yourself. Imagine being caught in a rip current with someone else that doesn't know how to save themselves. Utterly terrified. We cannot know the one God and His one Son if we don't believe and confess there is one and only. It is absolutely important that we do not find ourselves a part of this bumper sticker. Many of you have seen it. You ever seen on the back of a car the term coexist? There's actually a history to that. There's a bumper sticker. The sea is the moon of Islam. Of course, the T comes from the cross of Christ. The X in that actually is, if you go look long enough, is actually from the Star of David. It was actually had nothing to do with religion when it was created. It was just an assignment for art. And the person that put it together had no intention of making it something that had anything to do with salvation. Or even politics. It's an interesting story. But we are not here to just be ignorant, nor revel in that ignorance. 1 Corinthians 33 and 34. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. We live in a world that literally bathes in confusion. Now that shouldn't surprise us. The confusion of the days of Moses are no different than the days of Paul and the days of today. There are those who don't want to know. There are those who seek to take advantage of it. Hopefully, each and every one of us wants to know God. We want to know His will. We want to do it His way. And we want to bring as many as we can to that. There are some important ones that we should not only take faith, strength, courage in, we should recognize that they are pretty important ones. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, Paul writes that we're to be in the unity, one. Each and every one of us is to be of one mind. If you've ever been in a church that is experiencing the potential breakage. I can tell you the one person who never comes up. God. It may be about what my family wants. It may be about what I want. Maybe it's about I don't like you. Maybe you don't like me. But I can tell you the one person that I've never heard in a congregation that is fracturing ever come up. God. We are to be of one body. In one spirit. With one hope. We have one Lord. It isn't money. It isn't the king. We have our king. It isn't the president, whichever one. It isn't the Constitution. We are citizens of a different nation. We should know that we are to be good citizens of this nation, but we have our king. We are of one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father. And that leads us to recognizing what John wrote in 14:6. Jesus said, I am. You know, sometimes we talk about there are things that people say culturally that would have had a very different impact. To the Jews, to say, I am, was no different than slamming somebody with a hammer to the head. They understood that Jesus was claiming to be God. And he said to Thomas, I am the way to the Father. Only one way to the one God. I am the one truth. The one life. When we think about these things, it is so important for us to recognize that another lesson I've taught in the past, what it means to be a professional Christian. If you think about what it takes, I have been an athlete, not necessarily a great one, but I've been an athlete. I've been a soldier. I have seen combat. I've been a businessman. I can tell you, it is to my shame that I have brought service to my God and my Lord, that my coaches, my commanders, my bosses would have never tolerated a lack of commitment, a lack of growth, a lack of daily concern to the benefit and excellence of whatever the group wants. Can you imagine as a commander, I'll do what it takes up until the point where I have to save my men. Can you imagine being just an athlete? I'll run. I ain't going to run that hard. Sure not going to show up for practice. Imagine telling your boss, sure, I'll come, but I'm not going to come every time. Pretty certain it won't be your boss at all. John tells us in John chapter 1, verses 1, 4, 5, and 16. Jesus is, not was, is the one word. When we read the word of God, do we believe we are in communion with Christ? When we study diligently, do we believe that we're talking to God? That we are literally touching his mind? It is enough to take us to a knee, and it should. We are told that Christ was God. He is one with God. And he would provide us the one life. He is the one life and the one glory. Now with that, John also calls out the admonition that because he was the light and the glory of God, men rejected him. So interesting when we often ask, we hear this so often, how could God allow bad things to happen to good people? My dad used to love to say, he said, you ever notice how quickly we lump ourselves in with the good? He said, you ever notice when we talk about greedy people, we never include ourselves? Brothers and sisters, God is life. To reject him is death. Christ is light. The rejected in darkness. Christ was the one and only begotten of the Father. As we said before, he is the only way. As we said, we have one life. I've always thought this is a very humbling statement. Talking to my financial advisor the other day, just happens to be my best friend from middle school. We met on the football field when I sacked him, split open his chin, and we walked home and helped him get stitched up. We've known each other since then. He asked me a question I wasn't prepared for. When do you want to retire? About grabbed my heart and was hoping I wasn't going to have a heart attack. I hadn't thought about retirement that hard at all. Then I realized something. I have been celebrating 39 for literally 15 years. It's catching up. Might have been an extra year in there, by the way. James writes, but what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I heard an interesting comment. It is really only in the last 100 years that we have come to understand the size of the universe. For the longest time, we thought literally that the Milky Way was the extent. Before that, we thought the solar system was the extent. And I heard a famous astronomer ask, what's the one thing that blows your mind more than anything else? He said, it's just the size. He said, we finally come to grips with the vastness of space, that light, the speed of light, the fastest thing that we know, simply cannot reach it. Takes 3 seconds to get a signal from the moon. 8 minutes to get light from the sun. And we have no earthly idea how we're ever going to get outside of the solar system. Somebody asked me one time, so do you really believe that God created all of these galaxies and all of these stars just for man? I said, oh no, do you use your phone? Well, sure I do. Do you use GPS? He said, yeah. I said, well, I sure hope your GPS isn't based on the moon because it's moving all the time. I said, something's got to be so far out there that it never moves. That even from the beginning of time, man could walk the earth, sail the sea, and have confidence that he could get somewhere and know that there was order in the heavens. Yeah, I believe it. Unfortunately, we're also told there's one death. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and just as it is once appointed for man to die, and after that comes the judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, let us never fall into this trap that while God is love, Christ is light, and he is light, that there is not a judgment that is coming. Because just as God is light and light, he is justice. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to bear witness today against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. I'd like to leave you with a thought today. As potential lifeguards, this one kind of stinks, but the more I read it, I could not include it. People to go to hell deserve to be there. If you stopped right there, you would offend, I think we just said, at least everybody but 0.014% or 2-3%. People who go to hell deserve to be there. Just stop and take that in. People who go to heaven do not deserve to be there. The first is justice. The second is grace. And both are the results of the choices that we make. Now I'm going to put something on the screen. I hope everybody can read it, but I just want to walk through it. Because when we talk about choosing life over death, it has nothing to do with sitting in the pews today. Choosing life over death means we honor the glory of God. It means we revere the holiness of God. It means we admire the greatness of God. We praise the power of God. We seek the truth of God. We esteem the wisdom of God. We treasure the beauty of God. We savor the goodness of God. We put on, we follow the Son of God. We trust the faithfulness of God. We rely utterly on the promises of God. We obey diligently the commands of God. We respect the justice and judgment of God. Oh yeah, we fear the wrath of God. We cherish, we hold dear the grace of God. We prize the presence of God. When you woke this morning, did you wake with me? Did you take a knee and start the day in prayer so that you could be with it? You had no idea what would take place. Didn't know if you'd slip in the shower. Yes, I did. Did you prize this presence at the start of your day? Choose to love the person of God. And you choose to love and serve the people of God. We should be aware of something. Not choosing to do these things is sin. I know that's a hard concept sometimes for us. We tend to look at sin, and we tend to think about, well, I didn't lie today. I didn't cheat today. I didn't run anybody off the road again today. I didn't cuss as much today. I didn't do all the bad that even the world acknowledges to their shame. But I didn't do these things. When we think about sin, we should think about how much simply coming up short of the glory of God. All choices have consequences. If we choose not to abide with God and His Son in this life, it should come as no surprise when the consequence is that we won't get to do so after death. I will turn the rest of the lesson over to you, the rest of the day. But I would like to close with this. Each and every one of us has an opportunity to be a lifeguard. Each one of us has an opportunity to learn to swim. Not because we like the water,